Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And hello, my friend. Jeff Cavins with you here on the Rediscover Hour. Welcome. Welcome to this beautiful, beautiful day in Minnesota. We're going to be talking on the Rediscover Hour today, of course, about evangelization and growing in our faith and becoming disciples of Jesus Christ. We have a really good show for you today. In fact, we're going to be talking about a topic just a few minutes that is really, really important in your life. You know what it is? It's wisdom. And how many of us need wisdom in everyday life? I think about all of the things that people go through with raising kids. You know, you've got kids, you got teenagers, you got grandchildren, you got your job, and you got just, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of decisions that you need to make on a daily basis. And one of the questions that I would pose to you today as you're driving along or sitting at home in the backyard with your Arnie Palmer is that you need some objective base to make decisions upon, and that is wisdom. God gives us wisdom for daily living. And what we're going to find out is that not only is there wisdom, as we conventionally think of wisdom, you know, good choices and the right data to make the right choice, but we're going to find out that wisdom is even more than that for us. Wisdom's a person, the person of Jesus Christ. So stick around. We're going to talk about wisdom. You know, one of my favorite proverbs, by the way, is Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 13 through 18. Just let me give you just a little, just a touch of it before we get into it a little bit later. Happy, have you been learning about happy here on Relevant Radio? Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding, for the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and its profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. You know, over the last few years, we've been listening to Pharrell Williams singing his happy song, haven't we? Everywhere we go, some people say, I'm tired of that song. I don't want to hear that song anymore. But it's very kind of catchy. And I think people, they do want to be happy. And the scriptures tell us that wisdom is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. And those who hold fast to wisdom are called happy. So I'm giving you the invitation today, as I give it to myself every day, and our wonderful friend here, Paul Sadek, with me today in the studio. Do you want to be happy? Yes, we want to be happy. You want to be happy, don't you, Paul?
Sure.
Everybody wants to be happy. I mean, if you look at the basis of every decision that people make, every dollar they spend, there is underneath it a pursuit of happiness. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. So man always strives for the good. Wasn't that Aristotle?
Yes.
Okay.
And you. But yeah, it's true that, you know, we do search for happiness. And the key to that is really understanding wisdom. So I'm going to talk about that today on the Rediscover Hour. Also coming up, we have a special guest, Kathy Ertl from Holy Cross Books and Gifts down in Lakeville. It's been there about 9 years now, I guess. She's going to be joining us and talking about what's happening in brick-and-mortar bookstores these days. I don't know if you've noticed it, but the society, I'm sure you have, I say that rhetorically, but society has really been moving in the direction of online buying. I mean, people are buying digital books for their iPads and their, you know, their Samsung units and all that. And yep, what do you have, Paul? What's that unit called?
It's a Samsung Note 4.
You got
Samsung. It's called the Phablet.
The Phablet.
Okay. It's a big phone.
All right.
And I've got all my books on it.
Well, some people have the iPhone Plus that's about that size, and they're buying digital books and actually, I hope, reading the books there. But I also know that there's still a lot of people that are buying regular paper books.
Very true.
And one of the things that I'm a little concerned about is what about these Ma and Pa Catholic bookstores that are serving the local community with gifts and books and advice? What happens when they if they go away? And I want to talk to Kathy about how they're doing, and I also want to kind of put a shout out there to support these local people who are giving their life for the gospel and evangelization in a way that many of us would never think of in terms of it's a way of evangelizing, and that's having a bookstore. So I think we're gonna talk to Kathy about that a little bit. And there are some really good bookstores in the Twin Cities, some good Catholic bookstores. You know, we've got St. George's, and we've got Leaflet Missal, St. Patrick's, and of course we have a Holy Cross Book and Gifts down in Lakeville. So she's going to join us. So you need wisdom today. You need wisdom. We're going to talk about that. I would venture to say that between now and the end of the day, even if you're listening to this on a rebroadcast over the weekend, that between now and the end of the day, you're going to have quite a few opportunities to make decisions. And the decisions that you're going to make require some guidance. And that guidance we call wisdom. And wisdom is not something that we're just born with. It's something that we have to learn, and it's someone we have to meet, which is Jesus Christ. So I'm convinced that anybody can become wise if they will submit their lives to God and learn from the Lord about life and about decision making. And particularly, how many of you have actually read the book of Proverbs? Maybe you have. And the book of Proverbs are fantastic. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. And I remember a teacher long ago in Bible college, he said that there's 31 chapters, and it makes it great for those months where we have 31 days. And he said that every day, it only takes about, I don't know, a minute or two, every day, a couple of minutes, you can read a chapter of Proverbs. And if you do that every month, over your lifetime, imagine how many times you're going to have the wisdom of God going through your heart and through your mind and giving you the substance, the grist to make these wise decisions in life so that you don't fall and that you don't become a ruin. So wisdom is a great thing, but I'm afraid that we are living in a culture today that simply doesn't take the time to, number one, value wisdom. Number two, to go after it and grasp it, because we are so caught up in trivia. We're caught up in becoming happy, not in an eternal, substantive way happy, but we're interested in being entertained and kind of tickled, you know, and we're not interested in going after real wisdom. And once we come upon real wisdom, what do your friends tell you? Well, that's relevant. I mean, maybe that's good for you, but that's not good for me. At least that's not my choice. Well, you know, Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, came to reveal himself and impart his wisdom to us, not just for our sake, but for his kingdom and for the salvation of the world. Well, we're going to talk about that, and I encourage you to stick around. Give your friends a call right now. Tell them to tune in to Relevant Radio, and we're going to learn about wisdom together today. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes. Don't go away. This is the Rediscover Hour.
Cornerstone Home Lending is proud to announce that they're now providing reverse mortgages, and Chris Burr, a local reverse mortgage specialist, is here to assist you.
Hi, I'm Chris Burr, a reverse mortgage professional who has helped hundreds of seniors over the years. I consider myself to be a trusted advisor and someone who will lead by serving. A government-insured reverse mortgage can give you the financial freedom to help your family, do home improvements, or just have peace of mind so that you can live more comfortably in retirement.
Cornerstone can help guide you to the most beneficial reverse mortgage to suit your unique financial needs.
I invite you to call me this week for a free no-obligation analysis to find out if a reverse mortgage is right for you. I've been explaining what reverse mortgages are and what they're not for years. You can reach me directly at 651-341-0535. That's right, a local number, 651-341-0535. In just a few minutes, I can share with you how a reverse mortgage can offer you peace of mind.
Not a commitment to lend. Borrower must meet qualification criteria. Cornerstone Home Lending is an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 422758.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Hope you're having a great day, really do. And I hope that this middle of the summer, kind of the first, I guess, third of the summer, is a joyful time and a recreating time for you and your family. And I hope it's also a great time to do some good reading. You know, in the summertime, a lot of people will get a couple of good books. Isn't that something that we love to do? We love to get a great book and go to the beach or in the morning on the patio with your cup of coffee, just kind of read a great book. It's been a part of my life for a long time, and I imagine it's true with you too, you know, that you like to read. And praise God for the bookstores that we have in the Twin Cities, because they provide all the latest great titles and some of the classics, and you can go in and look around and talk and socialize and pick up a good book for the summer. Joining us right now is Kathy Ertle. She is one of the owners, along with her husband, Irv, of Holy Cross Book and Gifts down in Lakeville. They've been there for about 9 years, I think, and serving you in the South. And she's one of many good bookstores in the Twin Cities. Kathy, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Jeff. It's nice to be with you.
I haven't seen you for a while. We haven't talked for a while. How are you doing?
We're both very busy people, I guess.
You both evangelize, I guess, don't we?
Yes, very busy. You know, that is a good work.
Tell us a little bit about your store. You know, you're down in the South there, and some of the people up by Canada, you know, up in Blaine and Maple Grove, are not sure but where you're at.
Well, we are actually on the border of Apple Valley and Lakeville, and we are in our ninth year. We like our location. We service the South Metro and sometimes beyond. Mm-hmm. But you were talking about the struggle for bookstore owners today, and it is. It's been a struggle since day one. But Irv and I were called to this, so we depend on God every day for what we need. You know, we can say, thanks be to God, we're still here, and, you know, without God, we wouldn't be.
What kind of things do you have in your store? If we were to walk into your store today, what would we find?
Oh, well, we have, half the store is probably books, and half the store is gifts. Mm-hmm. A lot of, you know, the usual things in Catholic stores, rosaries, medals, you know, gifts for baptisms, communion, mm-hmm. and you know, summer is a time when people do want to come in and find maybe in summer we probably sell more fiction books, and I wanted to address what you were saying too about people using more like e-readers for books and shopping on the internet. And you know, a lot of people we know are doing that, and yet many people tell us that they still prefer to handle a real book.
Sure. You know what happened with me, Kathy, and I'm just, this is full confession here, is that I have bought quite a few books online, you know, the digital version.
Right.
And I forgot about them. I'm being honest with you. I totally forgot about them. And I go back into my iPad and think, man, I have bought, you know, 80 books in the last few years, and I didn't actually get around to reading them. There's something about the e-version. Maybe it's my age. You know, I'm over 23 now, but might be something about my age. But it's harder for me to get into reading that than grabbing a book that I can underline.
Right, and also people tell us the customer service is so much better in a local store, mm-hmm. in a religious store. And, you know, for today, let me just share an important challenge I think Christians need to hear today. Some people think about it, other people don't. But I think a real important challenge for all of us Christians today is, before we go shopping, let's do a search on, you know, what causes some of these secular mega companies publicly support. Because it is becoming more important. Because as consumers, we indirectly support their causes through our purchases, mm-hmm. and a lot of us don't think about that. But for example, a couple of years ago, one mega internet bookstore came out and publicly gave $2.5 million to help support an agenda that's anti-Catholic and anti-Catholic and Christian teaching.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we just think it's becoming increasingly important, in order to help our culture and help God's people, that Catholics and Christians need to support godly businesses.
Sure.
Otherwise, they'll disappear.
Well, you know, you bring up a great point, Kathy, and it's one that frankly, I think a lot of us don't think about, and that is that if I if I put, let's say, $40 down on the internet on an online company to buy two or three books,
mm-hmm.
and I spent $40, there's a certain amount of that money that, you're right, is going into supporting things that I normally would never walk into a store that said, we're doing XYZ. You know, right. we're going to support XYZ. And I say, well, here's $3.
Right. Most people don't even know where, you know, those other dollars are going.
You bring up a great point. And that's, you know, we're living in an age now in the Catholic Church where people are talking about intentional discipleship.
Right. Yes.
Maybe we need to start talking about intentional purchasing.
Yes, I think that's the challenge for the modern shopper. You know, for today, that's a modern challenge for Catholics today. And also, what other products are they selling? I mean, maybe they're selling, well, some people say, well, I just go there just to buy their religious items. I don't buy their other things.
Right.
But you might do a search, especially on their internet sites, and you'll find a whole host of other things that they're selling that you wouldn't approve of, you wouldn't want in your home.
Well, maybe it's the expediency that people are looking
sure.
at. You know, it's the one click, and I forget about it. In 3 days, it'll be at the door. But maybe we as Christians need to be a little bit more intentional and use some discretion when we buy
sure.
online and think a little bit deeper than just expediency.
Right, and I realize a lot of people, you know, us included. The money, you know, we don't maybe have a lot of money to spend. We have to be very careful with our spending. But it isn't just all about the dollar. We have to, you know, be wise, like you're talking wisdom. We have to be wise shoppers as well. And so the temptation might be there to forego the local Catholic store for prices and convenience.
Yep.
But we religious stores, we also strive to offer competitive, fair prices, good quality product. And, you know, I think people would be surprised to really take a look around, come in and shop when they have other occasions, not just, you know, the baptism and First Communion, although we have a lot for that when, you know, seasonally, when especially during the spring. But we have, you know, product for all the other seasons of the year, too. And there are some months when it's very difficult for Catholic bookstores because... you know, maybe there isn't a lot going on in the church. Say, in the springtime, there's, you know, the baptisms, First Communions, confirmations. But in the summer or in the dead of winter, there isn't a lot,
right.
you know?
Well, there's also, yeah, I get what you're saying, but I think there's also another added value that you bring as owners of brick-and-mortar Catholic bookstores in the Twin Cities, and that is that when people come in, people don't always know what they're looking for, do they? And they can't necessarily ask that online to a secular
right.
company.
Oh, that's very true. I would say probably close to 90, somewhere between 80-95% of the people who walk in our store, at some point they'll ask a question, they need help, and that's the ministry part of it. You know, where one pastor said to us one time that the Catholic store is the front steps to the church, and many people will come into a religious store before they enter a church.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Holy Spirit is at work in and through Catholic stores to change lives, to build up the church, to introduce people, you know, to the faith, to share the faith, to catechize.
Sure. Well, that's a good point right there. You know, the Rediscover Hour, and you know the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Archdiocese is all about evangelization.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I want to talk about for a moment, because when you and Irv first thought about putting together a Catholic bookstore, and by the way, we're talking with Kathy Ertle. She's at Holy Cross Books and Gifts in Lakeville. When you and Irv first thought about doing this, tell me that you did not sit down and say, how can we make a boatload of money?
Really?
And then you came to the Irv said, you know what? It's a Catholic bookstore. But I doubt that you said that, but you probably, and this is something I find in common with men and women who open up Catholic bookstores, is that they have evangelization on their heart. Is that true?
Oh, sure, very much so. And Irv is an accountant. He was a chief financial officer, so I thank God, because probably without his expertise and knowledge, you know, the store wouldn't be existing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but God actually called us through Irv, but you know what? It wasn't right away that we said yes. We wanted to discern it because we just knew how difficult it is for Catholic bookstores to survive. So we discerned it with the help of two priests for 2 or 3 years. And this is our fiat, our yes to God, that he wanted this Catholic bookstore in the South Metro. And thanks be to God, thanks be to the community. You know, you need the local community and the local churches to help support you. And so we're also grateful to our customers and the churches who do that, who do come to us and are seeking books, Bible studies, gifts, and we really appreciate that. We need that. It's partly up to the local community whether or not a store is going to survive as well. If the local community doesn't support it, then, you know, the chance is less likely for it to survive as well.
As far as books go, Kathy, what are some evergreen titles that just don't seem to go away in one year after another? People like those particular books. Give me a few titles.
Oh, let's see. Well, obviously, you know, the standard Bible catechisms. There's a new Bible out right now, the Didache Bible, that people are asking about. But the classics, a lot of the classics, Confessions by St. Augustine.
Uh-huh. Imitation of Christ, I'm assuming?
Oh, yeah, that's another standard next to the Bible. That's the most widely read Christian.
Is it really?
Catholic. Yeah, next to the Bible, that's the...
What's hot right now?
Like I said, some of the fiction. Stephanie Lansom is a local Catholic author, and her book, she came out with 3 books, Catholic fiction, The Well, The Tomb, The Thief,
uh-huh.
And so people are enjoying reading her books.
What age is that for? It sounds like that's kind of like a teenage.
I would say teen through adult.
Okay.
And
you're saying it's fiction, but it's historical fiction, but it has definitely spiritual roots all through it.
Right, and these three all take place in the Holy Land. So.
Okay.
It's kind of a combination.
And what's the name of that series?
The Well, The Thief, and The Tomb.
And the author?
Stephanie Lansom.
All right.
From Lake Elko, Elmo.
Well, we'll have to talk to her sometime. What else is hot right now? What are people coming in saying, I heard about this, and I'd like to get it?
Saying yes to grace, or saying yes to grace, I believe it is. That's what a lot of the women are reading.
Lisa Hendley.
Through the wine conference.
Uh-huh.
And then, catching me a little off guard here. I usually take people around the store.
Well, I imagine some of Scott Hahn's books are hot and...
Yeah. You know, there's, Jennifer Fulweiler, Something Other Than God. She was an atheist who converted to Catholicism. People are asking for her book. And, but a lot of our customers, they want the staples. They want to know, like what's Scott Hahn? What books haven't they read of Scott Hahn or Jeff Cavins or some other authors that they know about? That the names they're familiar with, Fulton Sheen, some of the Lives of the Saints. That's always inspirational to them.
Well, I don't see, Kathy, books going away anytime soon. And I think they're a great source of catechesis, of learning the faith, and communicating great, great things. And I just want to thank you on behalf of all of our listeners right now in the Twin Cities for being courageous and starting a store and staying with it. I know that there's months where it's very thin.
Oh, yes. And there's lots of hours. I don't think people realize Catholic bookstore owners put in anywhere from 50 to 70 hours a week. And this is week after week after week.
Sure, yeah.
So we don't get too many breaks. There's not a lot of vacations.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't take that store up north with you for a few days.
No, and you wear all the hats. You wear so many different hats that you have to do this and this and this and this. So.
Well, I thank you so much. And
well, we thank you too, Jeff, for all your ministry and all that you're doing for evangelization and catechesis throughout
We're all blessed here. That's Kathy Ertl. Kathy, have a great day.
Thanks, Jeff.
Kathy Ertl from Holy Cross Books and Gifts. That's down in Lakeville. And let me, before the break here, let me just encourage you, if you're going to buy a book in the next week or two, you've been thinking about maybe getting that particular book or this particular book, go to one of our bookstores. Support the people. And when you go in, tell them that you are intentionally coming to the store to support local ministries, because there's more than just buying the book that takes place at a bookstore. There's conversation. There's evangelization. There's encouragement oftentimes. You might meet a friend. It's a great social opportunity. So if you go down to Holy Cross Books and Gifts, tell them Jeff sent you. You're not going to get anything off, but tell them Jeff sent you. And let Kathy know that you heard it right here on the Rediscover Hour. Well, stay tuned, because when we come back in just a moment or so, we're going to talk about something so practical when it comes to evangelization, and that is wisdom in evangelization. When it comes to sharing the faith with other people and making decisions in everyday life, you need wisdom. I need wisdom. But where are we going to get wisdom from? What does it look like? And how does it manifest itself? That's what we're going to talk about next, right here on the Rediscover Hour. So don't go away. That would not be a wise choice.
Rediscover. Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first, always.
Coordinated Business Systems presents Twins Radio color commentator Dan Gladden and Coordinated President Jim Arricchio.
Dan, let me introduce you to breakthrough Kyocera document imaging technology.
Like Kyocera MFPs and Kyocera network printers?
Yep, and amazingly affordable Kyocera color too.
Color? Color commentary? Well, that's me, Jim. I'm here to provide great insight, humor, and expert analysis.
And a little humility.
Yeah, right, that too.
And Kyocera also has innovative document imaging solutions for healthcare, legal, engineering, and businesses of all sizes.
Breakthrough technology, score one for the home team.
Like you, Dan. Game 7, scoring the only run in the 10th inning to win the 91 World Series.
Go with the winner, Kyocera from Coordinated Business Systems. To learn more, visit coordinated.com.
Customers first, always.
You are stillness. You are quiet. You are comfort and peace.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Glad you could join us today. And if you just tuned in right now, we just finished a great conversation with Kathy Ertl talking about local bookstores. You can go online and you can listen to the rebroadcast and learn about how important local bookstores are. You know, making a choice, we've been talking about that too. You make choices. You're going to buy your books online. You're going to buy them from a store. Is there more than money? Is there something that is deeper than just expediency and getting your books and your products overnight? Is there something deeper? Yes, there is. But oftentimes we need wisdom to make those decisions and to discern what is the best course of action in our lives. And today in your life, I would imagine that you're going to have to make, if you've got children, you're going to have to make maybe 7, 10, 15 decisions today about your children, just between now and the time they go to sleep tonight. If you're going to work, you're going to be making dozens of decisions today. And if you're going to go up to the lake this weekend, dozens of decisions that you're going to have to make. We need wisdom. And so I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, back in the 1960s, we had the great big council called Vatican II. And Vatican II produced a lot of wonderful documents that give us wisdom for daily living. And one of those documents is called Gaudium et Spes. Gaudium et Spes, and it talks about the church in the modern world. You know, how do we live in this modern world? And I want to share with you a couple things from that document to kind of set the course here that I think really, really open our eyes. And the document talks about how difficult it is in the modern era. Now, mind you, this is back in 1964. We're living in 2015 now, and life has changed even more since 1964. And I can remember 1964 very, very clearly. A lot of decisions were being made socially, a lot of decisions about sexuality and drugs and politics. And frankly, I think we made some big mistakes. And there's consequences to those mistakes. And we look back at the 60s and we say, well, those were the good old days. You know, I remember Bob Dylan and the Beatles, and there's Kent State and Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy. And, you know, there's a lot of big highlights from those years of decisions that were made that did not end up very well. But I would venture to say that if you're, you know, in your 20s or 30s right now, that in 20, 30 years from now, you're going to look back and say, I remember back in the teens, Remember those good old days back in the teens? Well, those good old days today are going to be good old days tomorrow if we make the right decisions today. And Gaudium et Spes, this document, it has some interesting things. It says that today the human race is involved in a new stage of history. Profound and rapid changes are spreading by degrees around the world, triggered by the intelligence and creative energies of man. These changes recoil upon him, upon his decisions and desires, both individual and collective, and upon his manner of thinking and acting with respect to things and to people. Hence, we can already speak of a true cultural and social transformation, one which has repercussions on man's religious life as well. And it goes on and says that we're influenced by such a variety of complexities. And isn't that true? We are so influenced by such a variety of complexities. You've got the internet, and you've got television, you've got radio, so many complexities. Many of our contemporaries are kept from accurately identifying permanent values. In fact, if you get into a discussion with people and say, what are permanent values? They have a hard time identifying those permanent values, and they have a hard time adjusting themselves properly to fresh discoveries, especially with technology. As a result, buffeted between hope and anxiety and pressing one another with questions about the present course of events, they are burdened down with uneasiness. This same course of events leads men to look for answers. Indeed, it forces them to do so. But here's what I so appreciate about what Vatican II said. And by the way, do you know who was behind this document, Gaudium et Spes? It was John Paul II. A young cardinal, Karol Wojtyła, was behind it. The document says, within the individual person, and tell me if this isn't true in your life or someone you know, within the individual person, there develops rather frequently an imbalance between an intellect which is modern in practical matters and a theoretical system of thought which can neither master the sum totals of its ideas nor arrange them adequately into a synthesis. Now, before you run away saying, oh, that's kind of heady for me, let me explain that. What Gaudium et Spes is saying there is that modern man, there's an imbalance between our intellect, which is modern. That is, we're learning theoretical systems of thought, practical matters, electronics and communications. There's an imbalance between that and the ability to arrange them into a synthesis, or to bring all of these new discoveries and these new inventions, these new ways of communicating. We have a hard time bringing that into our life as a whole so that we remain whole, that we can put all of this together and live a whole life. And what happens so often is that the technology gets way up ahead of us, but the council said, our faith does not keep up with it. Let me say that again. We become so progressive, so sophisticated with our technology and the ability. I mean, think about it for a moment. I can mention any topic to you right now, and within 2 minutes, you can tell me all about it just by Googling it. But what the council was saying is that our technology and our ability, you know, to do all of this has far outpaced our ability to put this into a synthesis or a whole in our lives. And so what happens is that people run ahead of the faith and kind of leave the faith behind, and they're so intrigued by technology and all of the changes that there becomes what Gaudium et Spes tells us is a gap between faith and everyday life. There's this gap between faith and everyday life. And so what happens with that gap between faith and everyday life is you start making decisions. And I start making decisions, important decisions, you know, important decisions about the children, finances, our family, our time, your future. We make these important decisions without our faith in mind. So there's that gap there. And Pope Paul VI said, this is one of the great, great tragedies of our day. And that was in 1964. I would say to you that gap is a little larger now. by and large in society, it's a little larger, and that we have to do something about it. So our era, the one we live in right now, you know what we need? Man, we need wisdom. We need wisdom more than any bygone age. If the discoveries made by man today are to be further humanized, and if the decisions that are made in Supreme Courts and all over the country are going to be more humanized, we need wisdom. For the future of the world stands in peril unless wiser men are forthcoming. It should also be pointed out that many nations, poorer in economic goods, as Pope Francis has brought out, are quite rich in wisdom and can offer noteworthy advantages to others. So what is wisdom? Well, you know, Scripture tells us that Solomon, he composed 3,000 Proverbs, and his wisdom was great, great, great throughout all of the world. But you know what? You can read all of the Proverbs, the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and you're going to get tremendous wisdom because it's the inspired Word of God. But the Gospels seem to supersize this a little bit. The Gospels declare that Jesus' wisdom, evident in his teachings and the parables, and you can read about it in the Gospels, are greater than Solomon. Right. The teachings of Jesus is greater than Solomon. Now, in Bible days, the most common function of the sage or the rabbi was to give wisdom. In Hebrew, that's chokmah, a wisdom or counsel to people needing practical advice for living. So Proverbs really is a fantastic source for this kind of wisdom. And Proverbs abounds in instruction for would-be learners like you and like me. The wise man had the ability to condense the wisdom of experience into little sayings that people could carry with them, these proverbs. That's why I'm really a proponent of memorizing Proverbs. I'm a proponent of reading Proverbs. And like I said earlier in our open, there's 31 days in the month. There's 31 chapters. There's really no reason why we can't soak ourselves in the Proverbs on a regular basis. But you know, to the Greek mind back in Bible days, knowledge was the main way to virtue. Knowledge, the path to the good life, was through the intellect. Not to the Hebrew, though. Not to those who wrote the Bible. To the Hebrew, wisdom went beyond intellectual pursuit. It was practical. Wisdom was where the concept went from the page to the pavement. Wisdom was established upon God-given principles. For what? To be fleshed out in daily living. So the Hebrew writers, they never viewed wisdom as merely factual information, never just information for a debate. Rather, it was skill in applying knowledge to a specific area. Wow, I could use that. Couldn't you? I mean, doesn't that even sound good to apply knowledge to a specific area, to acquire wisdom to apply in my daily living? Well, wisdom began with the ability to see and evaluate all of life from God's point of view. And that's what wisdom is really about. But it's beautiful because the book of Proverbs, it personifies wisdom as she. And later we know in the New Testament that the New Testament writers tell us that wisdom, pure wisdom, is a person, Jesus Christ. Now, this is a shift in our thinking here. Stay with me for a second, because this is a shift here. We're going to go from wisdom on pages and pithy sayings, small containers that give you ideas on how to apply this knowledge of God to everyday living. We're going to move from that, which is important, to a person to be followed, which is Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about in Colossians 2, he says, all the wisdom of the ages is hidden in Christ. It's hidden in Christ. We have to go after this and sit at the feet of Jesus and learn wisdom. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1, he talked about how Christ is the wisdom of God. To watch Christ is to watch wisdom. And then he also talks about in chapter 1 that Christ has become for us wisdom. There's a great word picture that was developed in the first century by the rabbis in a document called Pirkei Avot, the Sayings of the Fathers. It was a very, very popular document. And in that document, it, you know, talks about wisdom, and it says that we should follow the rabbi, who for us is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We should follow the rabbi, and at the end of the day, we should be covered with the dust of the rabbi meaning that throughout the day we followed him. And at the end of the day, there's dust on our feet. And someone say, well, how'd you get so dusty? Well, that's the dust of the rabbi. I've been following him all day. So what does wisdom look like? Well, James, the great epistle James, talks about two kinds of wisdom. He talks about earthly wisdom, and then he talks about heavenly wisdom. Earthly wisdom and heavenly wisdom. And in chapter 3 of James, he kind of lets us get an idea of what this is like. James said, if you say you have faith, he said, show me. Here he seems to be saying the same thing. You have wisdom? Show me. Don't just talk about it. Show me that you have wisdom. And here in chapter 3 of James, he's concerned not with what you believe necessarily, even though that's important, but he's interested in how you live. So you notice when you read James, he uses the words wise and understanding. And this means that this person also has experience, knowledge, and ability. So wisdom consists of having insight and expertise to draw conclusions that are correct. Many are knowledgeable, but don't have wisdom. You know, I like this famous quote. You might even want to go into the parking lot right now and turn the car off just to write this one down. I mean, this is a good one. It comes from Tennyson, and Tennyson once said, he said, knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. Knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. In other words, you can read a book and knowledge comes to your life, but wisdom will linger with you. Wisdom will guide you. It'll direct you. And I personally believe with all of my heart, and I feel very passionate about this, that wisdom, if it was thought of as money in our society, people might go after it more. But you know what? Proverbs chapter 3 says, it's more valuable than silver. It's more valuable than gold. And how much of our time is spent trying to get silver and gold, money, retirement, 401ks, and so forth? And how much of our life is actually spent saying intentionally, I'm going to gain wisdom. I'm going to gain wisdom. Well, wisdom, as I mentioned, it's not an idea, but it's a person. Jesus is wisdom. And James actually describes 7 adjectives about wisdom that are kind of interesting. Number one, James says, he says, wisdom is pure. So if you want to know how to recognize wisdom, wisdom is pure. It doesn't have any ulterior motives and is not manipulative. A person that walks in wisdom doesn't manipulate people. It's pure. Wisdom is also peaceable. You ever been around people who are peaceful, and when they come into a room, there seems to be a peace that they bring? Peaceable. Right relationships between God and between people. Godly wisdom always results in right relationships with one another. And true wisdom, my friend, produces right relationships. No strife or bitterness between us. There are times when we can do something that is right, but not wise. Not wise. It wasn't a wise decision. Were you right? Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Objectively speaking, you were right. But it wasn't wise. I'm reminded of the proverb that says, as apples of gold in a setting of silver, so is the right word in the right circumstance. You might have the right word, but it might not be the right circumstance. You might want to discipline your children, but it's not the right time. Their friends are standing around, or another sibling is around. You need to wait a few minutes. You need wisdom in order to discipline. It also says in James that wisdom is gentle. Men, we need to take note of this, huh? Wisdom is gentle. If we're going to demonstrate wisdom with our children, how many of us are harsh with our children? We're more harsh with our family than we are with our colleagues at work. This shouldn't be. See, wisdom is gentle. The man who is gentle is the man who knows when it is wrong to apply the strict letter of the law. Sweet reasonableness, we could call this. It's the ability to extend to others the kindness that we like extended to us. So, true wisdom is pure, peaceable, gentle, but it's also reasonable. Reasonable. It's not stubborn, but will listen to others. It doesn't insist on its own ways. Humility is a key here. It's reasonable. Humility is the key. Humility is the ability to properly assess who we are in relationship to God and who we are in relationship to one another. I'm not better than you. I'm also not lower. I know that we're brothers. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know who I am in relationship to God. Let's not be stubborn. Let's listen to wisdom that's reasonable. It's also, number five, full of mercy and good fruits. Wisdom is full of mercy. We're coming up, you know, this December 8th on the beginning of the year of mercy in the church. This is going to be a year to walk in wisdom, too. Also, it is without uncertainty, wisdom. It doesn't waver. It doesn't waver. And it is without insincerity, or you could say hypocrisy. You know, the word hypocrite comes from the word to describe an actor. A hypocrite is someone who acts like somebody else. Wisdom is not filled with hypocrisy. The person who walks in wisdom is not a hypocrite. Wisdom doesn't act. It is authentic. We don't pretend to be someone that we're not. So what are some ways that you can get wisdom in your life? Well, if wisdom is Jesus Christ, just imagine this. What if I told you you could walk with him all day? Wouldn't that be great to be able to actually walk with Jesus Christ every day, 24/7, to walk with wisdom? That's the key, is the relationship with Jesus, reading his word, taking his word in, and praying and asking him how to live this out, how to make wise decisions. But the first step, and I know this is going to sound almost juvenile to some of us, the first step in getting wisdom is, the Proverbs tells us, get wisdom. That's the first step. You want wisdom? Get it. Well, what do you mean by that, Jeff? I mean, get it. Start going after it. Don't let it just fall into your lap. Don't let it just kind of come by your eyes like it's carried by the wind. You seek wisdom out. Where do you seek wisdom out? Well, you seek it out in the Bible. The Bible is God's word. I really recommend Proverbs and Psalms and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon and all of these great books. Of course, the Gospels. Read the wisdom of God. The second thing is this. James tells us this, and it's actually something that most of us don't do. He says in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and I'm not going to read all that, but I'll tell you what it says. He says, you want wisdom? Ask for it. Isn't that amazing? Is someone, you know, people come up and say, well, how do I get wisdom? Ask for it. What do you mean? Ask for it. Well, it's got to be more difficult than that. No, ask God for wisdom. Now, when you combine that with reading his word, studying the catechism, reading the lives of the saints, getting good counsel and spiritual direction, my friend, you ask for wisdom from God, I'll tell you what, he's going to give it to you. You need wisdom for your kids right now, making decisions for college. The dorms are going to be in. How are you going to get that government grant and so forth? Ask God for wisdom. It comes in many ways. Word, conversation, could even come in a dream. But once you have a nugget of information that may apply to your life, what do? You put it into practice. You put it into practice. Who's wise? Let him show it by his good deeds. So I want to encourage you today to don't overthink this, but to make it your goal this summer to gain some wisdom. Even before this coming weekend, you know, the weekend's over, make it your goal to gain some wisdom. If you need wisdom on any particular area or in any particular area of your life, then begin to seek God out in the Word of God, the Scriptures, and the Catechism. Great, great sources there for you to start to gain some wisdom. And let me add this. Let us not ignore the elderly. The elderly are fountains of wisdom. It came by experience. The years taught them. And we need to listen to them, and we need to treasure them. Grandparents, you are an amazing source of wisdom for your children. You really are. Don't waste it. Don't waste it just playing golf or bocce ball or anything else. I'm not saying you can't do those. I'm kind of like them myself. But focus on giving wisdom to your grandchildren. Focus on imparting and looking for the opportunities. As it says in Deuteronomy 6, crossing the Jordan River, Moses said to the Israelites, he said, teach your children when you're walking down the road, when you're in your home, when you're sitting, wherever, teach your children. Look for the opportunities to pass on wisdom. German philosophers had a phrase, they said, fruchtbare Augenblick. Terrible German there. But fruchtbare Augenblick, the fruitful moment. Look for it in the lives of your children to pass on wisdom. Well, I hope you do have a great summer. We're going to be back next week, and we've got a lot more for you. But I just wanted to pass that on to you today. Wisdom in evangelization, wisdom in sharing Jesus Christ. We got a lot of things happening in the Twin Cities, and we're going to let you know about that in just a moment. Thanks a lot. We'll be back. This is the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. Once again, it wouldn't be wise. Rediscover.
That image that he always projects of the priest must have the odor of the sheep. He's trying to instill this concept of reform and renewal of pastoral care, making sure that everyone receives pastoral care, that the church has to be a church for the poor, that is also poor herself. Now, that's often a misunderstood concept, but it's certainly one I think that can resonate with all of us as we strive to be poor in spirit.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
Relevant radio.
You can borrow.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you along with Paul Sadek. And, you know, you're having a tough time in your life, look to Christ. I promise you, Jesus wants to do something beautiful with your life. And, Paul, we got a lot of things going on this last week. I had the wonderful opportunity to visit with Archbishop Hebda, our new Archbishop Administrator, and it was great. Absolutely great. And everyone's going to have an opportunity.
I understand he's a brilliant fellow.
He is, and he's just really warm and a great shepherd. And people are going to have an opportunity to meet him, aren't they?
Indeed. Coming up this Sunday, in fact, our new Apostolic Administrator will celebrate the 10 a.m. Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul. All are invited to gather for the Eucharist and to meet Archbishop Hebda at a reception afterwards. The Cathedral is at 239 Selby Avenue in St. Paul.
Natural Family Planning Awareness Week is July 19th through the 26th. Several local events will provide an opportunity to learn more about this natural way to follow God's plan for your family. For example, Sunday, July 12th, Dr. Don Schreifels will give a presentation at 2 p.m. on the Creighton Models for Natural Family Planning at St. Raphael in Crystal. The highly effective, morally sound option for natural family planning was developed by OBGYN Dr. Thomas Hilgers. No pre-registration is necessary. Visit St. Raphael Crystal at straphaelcrystal.org for more information, or call Amy at 612-716-3970.
In a special observance for NFP Awareness Week, all are encouraged to join in a novena for the rebirth of chastity and purity. Prayers are included for couples experiencing infertility, for medical professionals, those experiencing marital difficulty, and more, in a profound prayer for greater virtue and grace. Go to events at archspm.org. Select the link for NFP Awareness Week. That's events at archspm.org.
St. Albert the Great Catholic Church has a special invitation for you. Come to Summer Bingo-Rama in their air-conditioned social hall. That's Wednesdays, July 15th and the 22nd. The Bingo Cafe will open for supper and snacks. Popcorn, coffee, lemonade, they're all free. From 6 to 9 p.m., pay just $5 at the door. Visit StAlbertTheGreat.org. St. Albert the Great is located on the corner of East 29th Street and 32nd Avenue South in Minneapolis.
Theology at the Pub has begun Tuesdays through August 11th at Stanley's on the corner of Lowry and University. All adults and young adults invited. 6:30 fellowship, 7 p.m. speaker. This Tuesday, July 14th, Father John Paul Erickson is featured for Grill the Priest. July 21st, Alyssa Bormas presents Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? For more information, check out Northeast Theology at the Pub on Facebook, sponsored by Holy Cross Church in Northeast Minneapolis.
And don't miss the 33rd Annual Country Festival, Sunday, July 19th at St. Mary of Częstochowa in Delano. Join us for Mass at 10 o'clock. The festival begins at 11. A delicious pork chop and roast beef dinner will be served from 11 to 2 p.m. Bring the family, July 19th in Delano.
Do you know anyone with special needs or mental or physical disabilities age 16 or older who has not received the Sacrament of Confirmation? Classes will be held Saturday morning, August 1st and 15th at the Church of St. Richard in Richfield. Guardians and candidates are required to attend both sessions for this important sacramental preparation. For more information, please contact Deacon Sean or Joan Curtin at 651-291-4543. That's 651-291-4543. And thank you in advance for your help in reaching out to all of God's people. And what's up next week?
On next week's Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk about controlling your anger. We will hear from licensed psychologist Therese McCann, who uses prayer and memory work in therapy to help get to core wounds. We're also going to talk with marriage and family therapist Paul Ruff, who also serves as the Assistant Director of Human Formation with the St. Paul Seminary.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.